know, Advent is an exciting time. It's a time of new things. It's a time of anticipation. It's a time of preparation. Who's already bought their first Christmas presents? Any of you? Some of you have. I know a friend of mine who's got two children. Yeah, about your age. One's just started secondary school and the other's in primary school still. Well, she was looking out for all the good deals on Black Friday. And she went straight away to her, not to the shops, to her computer and ordered a few gifts on Black Friday. So getting ready for Christmas is an important thing that we do at this time of the year. But do you know what? Getting ready for Christmas isn't just about buying presents, is it? It's also about thinking about things that we do to welcome people into our house and to decorate our house in a way that symbolizes all sorts of good things like light, like celebration, and like Jesus' coming. Now, some of you will come to church this Christmas as well, singing carols, proclaiming that Jesus, remembering Jesus' coming at Christmas time. And some of you will, on Christmas morning, or maybe even midnight, I don't know who comes at midnight. Any midnight service goers here? Yes! Some of you are going to come at midnight. Good, because I'm going to be here at midnight. Don't want to be the only one, do we, Ian? The only two. And Jane. We wouldn't like that. So do come. We've got a crib service, we've got a carol service, and we've got Christmas Day. So lots of stuff. But I want to talk specially about the topic of waiting today. I'm not a very good waiter. I find waiting very difficult. I don't like queuing. I don't like waiting in my car. If I have to wait for lots and lots and lots of other cars to go, and I'm in a multi-story car park and I can't get out, I find it really difficult. And actually, I think that the reason why I find waiting difficult isn't because I'm a very irritable person. I don't get irritated very easily. But I find it difficult because I feel like it's a waste of time. Do you know that feeling? When you're waiting for something, it feels like it's a waste of time and you get quite tired of waiting. And time is special. Time is precious. And so it's that feeling that this thing that I call time that is very special to me is going and I'm not able to use it properly. So I'm going to talk about these two themes, waiting and time, which are two very important themes in Advent. Actually, the way I'm going to do it is by talking about four candles, not four candles, you understand, but four candles, and four lettuces. I didn't bring all four today, but I did bring one lettuce. And I'm going to ask Ian to help me to do what we always do in church. At this time of the year, we light one of our Advent candles. And it's a particularly special candle, as each of them are, because we remember particular people on this Advent Sunday. So let's light our purple candle. Notice that we've got three purple candles and one pink one. And right in the middle, we have a white one. Do you know what? When was it? It was yesterday. It was only yesterday. Instead of having all these chairs, we had a whole lot of tables down the middle here. And we had about 20 men and women, people, and boys and girls as well. We had some young people. I think the youngest was 7, actually. And we all made these fantastic Advent rings. Caroline, where are you? Caroline was the one who helped us. And Caroline, she's a florist. She told us what to do to make these beautiful rings. But I bet you've got some Advent rings that you hang on your doors at home, haven't you? It's to welcome people, but it's also, and I wonder if you'll remember these symbols, there's a round circle, and that stands for eternity. Okay, it's not like a figure of 8, which is infinity. It's eternity. And in here, we've got evergreen leaves. That means that they're not going to fall apart and go grey and yellow or whatever colours and fall off the trees. They're evergreen. That means that it stays green all the time. And the four candles, as I said, all represent something different. So this one that we've lit today represents the patriarchs. It's part of our story as Christians. The patriarchs are people who we normally call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, exactly. So we have three patriarchs that we remember. They were the beginning of the Jewish nation, and from the Jewish nation, Jesus came. The second candle, which we light, does anybody know what the second candle stands for? No. I know, it's quite tricky. I tell you what helped me. I've got this little book, and in this book, it's got four chapters, one for each week of Advent. And some of you have ordered these books, and if you haven't, well, you can still order them before the 1st of December. It's called The Meaning is in the Waiting, and each chapter stands for a different thing, which our candles stand for. So the patriarchs, the next one's the prophets, the next one after that is John the Baptist. You've heard of John the Baptist probably. Yeah, he came just before Jesus came, and he came to prepare the way for Jesus. And the fourth one is Mary. It's not really pink because of Mary. There's other reasons why it's pink, but we can remember that it's Mary because it's pink. It also stands for joy, and each of these candles have different other meanings as well. In the middle, we have the central candle, and that's the candle that we light to remember the coming of Jesus Christ himself, and we light it on Christmas Day. So we're kind of preparing ourselves, not just practically like buying presents, decorating the house, making the Christmas cake, all those important things for Christmas, but we're preparing ourselves spiritually as well. What does that mean? That's really hard. How do we do that? And that's what I'm going to be talking a little bit about today. I also want to tell you about a special word. So what does Advent mean? Advent means waiting, I believe. Just checking on my notes. Advent means waiting and coming, or coming and arrival, okay? So we're focusing on two comings. Jesus, when he came at the first time, that was about 2,000 years ago. It's funny looking forward to somebody's coming when they've already come. It's a bit strange, isn't it? But we do that because we're preparing ourselves for Christmas Day, which is when we celebrate Jesus' coming. Christmas means Christ Mass. And that stands for a service where we think of Christ coming. The second focus is the preparation and anticipation for when Jesus comes for the second time. Okay, it's called the second advent, the second coming, the second arrival. But he draws together when he comes the second time all the bits of time from the beginning of the universe all the way to the end of time as we know it. But I want to tell you about two words for time. One is, has anybody got watches? Has anybody got a watch on their wrist? Yeah, can you tell the time on a real watch? What's the time now?
Just about half past.
Obviously, there's also other ways of telling the time. You can tell time using calendars, and we sometimes have calendars on our wall. We write down all the exciting things that are happening in our family's life, don't we? This is the kind of time that marches on, that goes. You don't get the time again that has already gone, do you? And we carry on getting older, and we carry on moving through to different things. And that's why we know Christmas is coming, because it always comes at the same time of the year. If I put my glasses there, I'll forget. The other kind of time is a time that nobody kind of is aware of. So the time we've just talked about is called Chronos. In Greek, Chronos, like chronology, moves on. But the other kind of time is called Kairos. Has anybody heard of Kairos time? Strange word. That's the kind of time that is a sort of event. And after the event happens, things are never the same again. If you think of Chronos as being like a y-axis of a graph, no, an x-axis of a graph, and Kairos as being like a Y. The Y-axis comes and intervenes in what's happening in our normal everyday life. Now, There's been one or two events that are Kairos events, and one of them is when Jesus came at Christmas time. We know that because he changed not only the calendar that we have from AD, BC to AD, but he also changed the possibility of us having eternal life and living forever once we die. He told stories, he lived life, and he showed us what God was like. But do you know what? I think that that event is also the reason why I'm standing here today. Because if it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be wearing this lovely new stole, new for Advent. I got it only Friday, I think. It was given to me by the people whose church I was at, but they said, please, can you buy it? Because we want to buy you a stole. It's from Guatemala. It's hand-woven. It's a fair trade scarf. And it looks a bit African, and I come from Zimbabwe, so that's why I like it. Also wearing a very special cross made for me by my friend Caroline. It's got a bit of Celtic knots and things, because my dad was from Cornwall. So these things are about new beginnings, and that's what Advent is. I want to tell you a bit about the patriarchs. So Abraham was a patriarch. Abraham got a message from God in his life. And the message from God was, take your wife Sarah, her name was Sarai at that time, take her and go to a new land. I'm going to establish you in a new land, and I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to make your descendants as numerous, that means as many, as the sand on the seashore. Abraham probably said to God, excuse me, could you tell me where I'm going? Could I have a map? But God didn't give him one. God just said, go, take your things, your goats, your people, all your stuff, and go. So he went. He went because he believed God. He went because of the Kairos event in his life. And he went and he found a new land and he started a new people. Do you know how long he and Sarah had to wait before they had their son? 90 years. No, that's not true. Sarah had the son when she was 90, and Abraham was 100. But I suppose they only started waiting when they got married, you know. But that's a long time. They had the son Isaac born to them, and through Isaac, many, many other people were born, and because of them, we have the nation of Israel. So God gave Abraham a promise, and he fulfilled that promise. But part of Abraham's job was to hear God, to wait and listen to God, and then to act on what God had said. And he couldn't have done that if he didn't have any faith. So part of it was Abraham's response. Abraham, in a sense, said, I'm going to stand up and take notice of God intervening in my life, and I'm going to act on what God is saying. And I'm going to become a little bit of light in the world that I live in. And I love that story. I love the fact that Abraham had faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, he was counted righteous before God. So I've talked about my candles. I've talked about Abraham and Sarah. I want to talk a little bit about the three Bible passages that we had. And what's your name who read out that first Bible passage? Ethan, that was very well read. That was a prophet that Ethan read from. Isaiah was a prophet, and he had these amazing prophecies which speak to me and to us today. The reason why it speaks so much to me is because 2016, think of the beginning of 2016. It's been quite a year, hasn't it? We've had lots of terrorist attacks. We've had ISIS, we've had Syrian refugees fleeing, many, many people needing to move from their place, which was very scary to live in, to new places. We've had Brexit. We've had Trump's election. Things are never going to be the same again. We know that. Things are changing. Just like Abraham, things were never going to be the same again. So with our lives, we need to think. We need to wait. We need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do in my life that might shed some light for the people around me, that might help the people around me. So this beautiful prophecy talks about a time when God will come for the second time, and he will judge the people, and he will settle all the arguments and disputes for many people. And do you know what? Instead of taking their swords, and you know what swords look like, and you know what spears look like, he's going to take all the people will take their swords and spears, and they will beat them into plowshares. That's a plowshare, something that you plow the fields with. And a pruning hook. I didn't really know what a pruning hook looks like, but I know what pruning does. It's also about agriculture, the pruning hook. And then there's this beautiful vision. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. There'll be no more war. There'll be peace. That's a Kairos event. When God comes through Jesus the second time, and he changes everything to bring peace. But what do we do now? Because now we're not in that time. Now we're in a time when things aren't so good. Some people call it, we're in this space between when Jesus came the first time, the second time, the now, but not quite yet have we seen peace come. And in this space of time, it's our job to make things better in our world, to make things better for our friends, to make things better for our family, to make things better for our country. And all the little things that we do that are good help to make things better. Now, in Romans, which is our next reading, Paul talks about ways that we can do this. And actually, this is where my lettuces come in. So I've talked about my four candles, now I'm going to talk about four lettuces. The first two lettuces come in Isaiah. I don't know if you noticed the lettuces in Isaiah. The second two lettuces come in Romans. You might not have noticed those either. But let's just check what the scripture says. Here we go. First lettuce, Isaiah 2, verse 3. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. You hear it? And to the temple of our God. That means, hey, let us go to a place where we can pray, where we can worship, like this church. So that's what we're doing here today. Second lettuce, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Did you hear it? Let us walk in the light of the Lord. And then Romans 13, we find the third lettuce. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and instead put on the armor of light. And finally, the fourth lettuce, let us behave decently as in the daytime. Did you hear them? Four lettuces. Let us do this, let us do that, let us do the next thing. Actually, the fourth lettuce, there's quite a lot of instructions that go with it. Paul's saying, get rid of all that stuff that's rubbish, okay? Carousing and sexual immorality and debauchery and living life as if, you know, you're the only one that matters, indulging in your own desires, etc. But he also says, get rid of, let go of, because I don't think many of us are carousers or drunken or anything else. But then he says, let go of dissension, quarreling, and jealousy. Who quarrels here? Does anybody quarrel with their brothers or sisters? Does anybody quarrel with their bosses or their husbands or wives? Actually, we all quarrelers at some stage. We are all guilty. Plus, Christmas time, instead of being a time of generosity and celebration, sometimes it's a time where we get very jealous because somebody else has got what we want and we haven't got it. Or somebody else is going to a nice place on holiday and we wish we were going. Or we wish we were in that family and not this family because this family argues all the time. Or there's so many things that make us jealous. But the truth is that we are where we are, and we've got to find a way of being light in the place that we're in. So this is Paul's advice. Take off, literally, unclothe yourself with all those things that are unhelpful, and we've talked about those, the quarrelling, the jealousy, the argument. And instead, put on or robe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. That means his attitude of love, your love. We've told to love one another, aren't we? And humility. That means thinking of others before yourself. Now's the time, he says. Clothe yourself with good things. I'm going to finish with a little bit of a personal story. And that is, just before I became a curate, and that was in about June, middle of the year, the bishop called me. He calls all the people who just about to, I hadn't done anything wrong. He called me and he said, Wendy, you've got a special task and journey to go on. You've got lots to learn. It's true, I have. He says, I want to advise you to go occasionally to see and to speak to a person called a spiritual director. What do spiritual directors do? They help give you direction. That's spiritual. They're wise people. They're people who pray and who are perhaps a little bit further along in the pathway of faith. And I went to see my spiritual director. She's a wonderful woman. About maybe a month ago. And she said, Wendy, how are you and your churches going to celebrate Advent? I thought for a moment and I said, I don't really know, because this is my first time in these churches and I don't know how they do Advent. But one thing that I'd like to encourage people to do is to join in maybe getting this book, which is called The Meaning of Waiting. It's something that takes us through the weeks of Advent, but it takes us through it in little stages, one day at a time, where there's a little meditation on one thing that helps us to think about waiting in Advent. I like that. I like the idea of journeying, and I like the idea of not having to do it all at once. It gives you a chance to think about and to reflect on things that are really important in life. And so, quite a number of us have got this book, and if you haven't got one, well, I shouldn't really be advertising, but you can still get it, either through me for the first or obviously online. But then she said to me, okay, Wendy, what are you doing to prepare for Advent? That was quite hard, because I've got so much to do before Christmas, but not much of it involves waiting. I had to think about that one. And actually, I felt challenged. I felt sufficiently challenged to think about and to make some changes in my diary, to make space for time and for prayer, for expectant waiting, and for asking God how he wants me to live my life in a way that brings light into the world. So I'm going to finish by asking you the same question. What are you going to do this Advent to create space for the special kind of waiting that expects God to come into your life, to give you a new hope and a future, and to change you in your spirit at Christmas? Let's just pray for a minute. Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of your holiness, that we, each one of us, may be ready to meet you in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.